You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
All right, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I'm going to get my coffee because I was singing too much there. This morning we're going to, I know this is not what the Sunday school lesson was about, but we had a double story last week with our Jesus story, and it was so good that I wanted to go back and actually touch on that. So we're going to look at the book of Mark this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. There we go. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. I'll begin reading there. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace. Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Let's pray. Father, give us insight into your word. Help us to see who this is that even the winds and the sea obey his command. Help us to respond to whatever it is you may call us to and may command us to this morning. Speak to us clearly through your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, has anybody ever been on a boat? Raise your hand. Ever. Boat? Anybody? Okay, hold them up. Keep them up. If you have been on a boat in the ocean, keep your hand up. Everybody, if you've not been on a boat in the ocean, put your hand up. Okay. If you've been on a boat in the ocean overnight, keep your hand up. Okay. If you've been on a boat in the ocean overnight and it was not a cruise, like it was a sailboat, keep your hand up. Like three of us. Okay. Nancy, awesome. That's pretty close. That's good. Yeah, fishing boat is good. Fishing boat is good, yeah. So just a few of us. Summer of 2004, I had just finished my time at the School of the Arts in Winston-Salem. It was the summer before we started seminary. Let me give you a little background before I tell you that whole story, is that Michelle and I, when we met and got married, when we started dating, and then eventually got married, part of the reason we did that is we both had this hungering passion for missions, that we were in charge of the outreach to international students on our college campus, and just that was part of who we were, and part of our relationship was about missions. But up to this point, the summer of 2004, we had never been on a mission trip together outside of the country. We'd never done that together. Now, the church we were at, Quaker Gap, had a long partnership with a ministry that did outreach in the Bahamas. And the way that this ministry worked is that the team would fly to Miami, they would get on a boat, and they would sail from Miami to the Bahamas. And while they were there, they would do different kind of ministry things. They would do vacation Bible school. They would do some construction work, repair on some local schools or some local houses or local buildings. They would also, our students at the church would put together these hygiene packs of soap and shampoo and toothbrush and toothpaste and just basic, toiletry items. And we'd take all those down with us. They would do that during their VBS. We'd take them all down to the Bahamas. We'd give them out to kids who might not have those kind of things on a regular basis. So whenever the church went on one of these trips, it was kind of billed as, this is a half mission trip, half retreat. Because it is the Bahamas, right? I mean, suffering for Jesus in the Caribbean, right? So they would go down and they would do probably about two-thirds of the work of mission work, but then they'd go snorkeling. They had some different things that we'd go do while we were down in the Bahamas. So Michelle and I decided that we wanted to go on this trip. We would like to join the church. We'd like to see what this was about. Now, on the particular summer of 2004, there were a lot of people that signed up for the trip that year, much more than normal. So when they were trying to put together the boats, they realized that we were not all going to fit on the one boat. So they got a second boat. Now, the way it would work was that they split the group in half, and there'd be about 25 that would go with the infamous Captain Steve. Now, Captain Steve was the guy everybody was used to, but he was like a grizzly old sailor. You know, he had a good heart, but he was just kind of really rough around the edges and hard to get along with and just kind of grouchy. And the other group would go, about 13 of us or so, would go with Captain Mike. And nobody knew Captain Mike from anybody. I mean, we had never heard of this guy. So this was a new experience for all of us. So when I went on this trip, I was not going to be the leader of a group. You know, the associate pastor of the church was going. He was going to lead the group. We were just going along. But he said, look, okay, there's two staff members going. There's two boats. Why don't you go on one boat? I'll go on the other one. He said, I know how to deal with Captain Steve. I'll go with him. You go on the smaller boat and kind of just be there to be spiritual guide, you know, kind of offer some spiritual leadership on the group. So we all got down to Miami, and we realized very quickly that this was going to be a little bit different because Captain Mike's boat was not nearly as big and was much slower. So they said, we're going to send you guys out 2 or 3 hours ahead, give you a head start. We're going to meet you there in the Bahamas. You know, so I said, okay, fine. So Michelle and me and 11 other people pile onto the boat, and we head out and, you know, kind of waving at the rest of our team on the shore as we're going out. Let me just say, we got out. It was really awesome because this was the 4th of July. If you've never watched 4th of July fireworks from about 20 miles off the coast, it's really cool, you know, because you could see like the whole coastline, and like there's a fireworks show over here, and there's a fireworks show over here, and then one over here, and you're like, man, this is really cool. So we got to experience the 4th of July out on the ocean. But let me tell you something about sailing in the middle of the night. You can't see anything. I mean, you really can't see anything. When you get out there and you're way offshore and there's a little moon, but not much, it was pretty scary. You know, you look out, the black sea is black, everything is black. Basically, he said, okay, here's the deal. Here's the compass. You steer the ship between 30 and 32 degrees, and you just watch that. And you just keep it going in that direction, and by morning, we should be pretty close to the Bahamas. You couldn't see anything. So that was the whole night. So none of us had sailed before. So we're in teams of two following the compass like this. Like, okay, I think, are we close? Are we staying on? You know, so the whole night we're doing this. Now this first night, it was not a bad storm, but there was a little storm. And it got pretty choppy, you know. And so we're kind of doing this a little bit as we go. And there weren't a lot of people that were sleeping because just about every time that you went to sleep, you just smacked your head against something. It's the only time in my life I've ever gotten seasick, and it was no good, let me just tell you that. We finally arrived to the island of North Bimini, part of the Bahamas, where the main port is. We get into the island, didn't see Captain Steve's boat anywhere. Looking around, we're like, where's the rest of our team? We don't see these guys. So we finally just pull into the harbor, and we said, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, we hit a storm. Maybe they were coming behind us. Maybe they hit a worse storm. Maybe they couldn't make it. You know, maybe they were lost at sea. You know, we're having the Gilligan's Island theme going through. Maybe their two-hour tour was getting extended. We didn't really know what had happened. So we're just sitting there trying to figure out, and we finally decided, okay, let's just go on shore. Let's check in with customs. Let's see, you know, let's just hopefully we'll try to find out maybe what happened. So we went on shore, checked in, all that stuff. Finally, we decided, well, maybe they actually didn't come to this island. Maybe they went on to Andros, which is where we were going to go after that. So maybe we should just go on, and maybe they're going to be there. So we set out again. You know, the waves were choppier, and it was worse. And we've got a headwind the whole way. And so after about 2 hours of getting nowhere, I mean, just literally doing this, you know, for 2 hours, just riding this, you know, wave after wave after wave, we just gave up. We said, you know, okay, look, we're not going to get there. There's no way we're going to get there from here. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's going on. I've not been in the planning of this trip, so I have no idea what to do. So we finally get back to the little harbor for the night, and we just kind of got back to the harbor for the time being and dropped anchor. And at this point, there was a mutiny on board. There was a mutiny, let me just tell you. Some of the adults on that trip were like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know where the other boat is. We're going to go back to Miami. I'm just going to put the hotel on my credit card and forget this whole thing. This is ridiculous. I mean, people were just, they were getting crazy. Tempers were flaring. And finally we decided, look, we're not going to get back there tonight anyway. So let's just drop anchor in the harbor. Let's just spend the night here. It's calm. So we got to where it was relatively calm. We dropped anchor and we spent the night there. Now, as crazy as that kind of experience was for me, I am sure for these experienced fishermen that Jesus is riding with, it's much worse than that. I mean, it's not just a little seasick, because these guys are used to being on the sea, but this is bad enough that they're freaking out. You know, this storm is pretty terrible. They're terrified, it says. And here's Jesus kind of just, you know, he's sleeping on it, literally and figuratively, sleeping on it. And in the back of the boat, when all this craziness is going on. Now, let me explain something a little bit to put the story of Jesus and the disciples in context. In the scriptures, in the time period that they're written, the sea had a very specific connotation in their mind. When God, in the book of Genesis, way back at the beginning, when it says God created the world, in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness was over the face of the deep, the sea. The Spirit of God was hovering on the waters. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters. Let it separate, you know, so he creates the land to separate the waters in the sky from where he sows the waters in the deep. And, you know, all of this that we hear and we're like, that doesn't exactly make sense. There's a slide I'm going to ask Tammy to throw up there. This is kind of how the Hebrew people would have viewed the world in essence. At least one illustration. That at the bottom there, the great deep, you know, and then the top, the waters above, and God's above all of it, you know, and in the middle is kind of the earth. Now, this great deep here, it's kind of a strange concept, because it's more than just the great deep where the fish and the whales and the sharks dwell. In Hebrew, the word is tahom. It means the deep, the tahom. And so the tahom was often personified, like almost like it was another person and referred to by name, almost like it was the ruler of the deep. And other ancient peoples in this time period had similar ideas, but they had different names. Like the Canaanites referred to Yam, and Yam was the god of the sea for the Canaanites. And many cultures in this time period too, they had these ideas and these stories about these great sea monsters. The Mesopotamians had this sea monster that they called Tiamat. And the Canaanites, they had this great sea monster that they called Lotan. And the Egyptians had Apep. And for the Hebrews, they had, and we read about them in the Bible sometimes, Leviathan, or Rahab, or Tamim. All of these ideas of there is this great deep, and there are these great creatures under the deep. And essentially, it personified this idea of chaos. That there was chaos at the beginning of creation, and the Spirit hovered over the waters of the deep, and God brought order out of chaos. It's kind of the picture that's going on here. The idea that this chaos, this great deep, these great sea monsters, they're all struggling with God for control over the world, for control over chaos versus order. And in addition to that, for the Hebrew people, they saw that the great deep was a place often inhabited by evil spirits. So when Jesus is awakened in the back of the boat, and Jesus stands up, and there's this violent uproar of the lake and of the sea, and things are going crazy, and it seems like the sea and the deep is going nuts, and that chaos is controlling, and Jesus says, "Peace, be still." This is more than just a meteorological event going on here that Mark is talking about. This is more than just the weather is getting a little bad, more than just a few storm clouds passing overhead. Because when Jesus uses this language, It's the same language that he used to cast out a demon a few chapters earlier. Because early in Mark's gospel, it says that a man came to Jesus with a demon, and he says, the demon says to him, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And get this, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." This is in Mark chapter 1. Then Jesus turns around in this story, just a few chapters later, it says, he awoke, he rebuked the wind, the sea, the deep, and he said, "Be silent." He said, "Peace, be still." Or maybe more accurately, he said, "Shut up," to creation, to the storm, just like he said to the demon. In essence, Jesus is exercising creation. He is exercising this deep, this chaos that's underneath, that's got everybody so frightened and so excited, and he's saying, "Shut up, be quiet, stop." And it says the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now it's one thing to stop the wind, right? But everybody knows that even if the wind is stopped, the waves are going to keep going for a while before it finally settles down. No, not here. Not here. Jesus says, "Be quiet, be still," and everything is calm immediately. Because this story is not about Jesus changing the weather. That's not what this story is about. This story is about Jesus who stares down face to face all that threatens chaos in our lives, all that threatens chaos in our world, all the deep fears, all the deep underlyings, all those things that hide underneath, that he's addressing it head on and saying, "Shut up, stop. You're done having your say here. This is an exorcism here." And the disciples are filled with fear because they look at this whole event and they say, Who is this man who controls all of this? The wind, the sea, the deep, they obey him. It's a great question, isn't it? I mean, who is this man? It's a question that many of us spend our whole lives having to answer. Who is this man, Jesus? Is he some character in a group of stories that we look at on Sunday morning? Is he some great moral teacher? Is he some, you know, lunatic, megalomaniac with a savior complex? Maybe not, right? No, he's the one who has the power to speak peace into our lives, to address the forces in our lives that threaten to throw us into chaos, to address the tome, the deep in us, you know, our deep fears, our deepest hurts, our deepest needs, our deepest failures, our deepest regrets, our deepest anxiety. Jesus says, "Peace, peace, be still." The next day after we had after we'd spent the night in the harbor, we decided that the best idea that we could have was to, it was Sunday, this was Sunday, and so we said, "Well, let's go on shore, let's try to find a church. Because, you know, maybe at least worshiping together would help us to, you know, stay focused, would help us to, you know, try to find out what God was up to." Because obviously the trip, as we had planned, it was not working out. So we passed by a couple of churches as we walked along the island. We came across Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in North Bimini. We said, "This looks like the one. We're a good Baptist church. We're going to go to the Baptist church, worship with our Baptist brothers and sisters." So we go into the church. And as we go in, you know, it's pretty conspicuous. A group of like 13 white people walking into an all-colored church. Because it wasn't all black. It was just, you know, different, of different colors. But we were the only white folks. And it was very obvious. So we told the usher what was going on. We said, "Here, you know, we're a mission team. We kind of got separated from our other boat. We can't get to the island we're supposed to go to." We're rehearsing the story for him. So he tells the pastor, you know, we have a seat, and we tells the pastor. And a few minutes later, I'm sitting in the pastor's office, and I'm sharing the story with him. And I'm like, you know, "We don't know what God's doing here. We had a trip planned. We had work planned. We're not sure what God is doing, and we're here, though. And so he's just listening, and he sits back in his chair, and he's kind of grinning, he's kind of smiling, and I'm just going, what is this guy? Is he crazy? I mean, why is he looking at me like that? And he says, you see, we usually have a team from North Carolina that comes and helps us out with Vacation Bible School. They couldn't come this year. We don't know why. But it's this week. And we have a few needs. We said, okay, maybe, you know, I'm thinking God's at work here. Dude, God's doing something here. What exactly do you need with your help? Well, we need some help with music. I said, well, that's great because I'm the music minister of the church, and we have another guy who's on our team who's a worship leader. We all brought our guitars. That would be great. We'd love to help out with music. He said, we kind of need some help with somebody to lead games. I said, well, that's great. We have a girl on our team who was an exercise science major who loves to lead games. She would love to do that. And so, great, great. He said, well, we're short a couple of teachers for our, you know, Sunday school or for our Bible school. I said, that's awesome. We have two certified teachers on our team who can fill in and do those two classes. He said, well, we also kind of need somebody to help out with our youth because our youth minister just left. I was like, isn't that amazing? Because we have the interim youth minister from our church that was, you know, who had served as interim youth minister on our team. We'd love to help out there. He said, well, we have, you know, a few repairs and different things like that, that, you know, construction repairs that we need to have done, but we hadn't been able to do it. I said, wouldn't you know it? As if we hadn't figured this out as it was going on. Wouldn't you know it? We have two guys that work in construction on our team. That's like our whole team, and it fits right in to where your needs are. Every need they had, every single need they had, we had the people on our team to meet it. We were there. We had packed all the hygiene kits, and somehow they had all ended up in our boat, not on the other boat. So we said, well, look, we've got these hygiene kits. Could we hand them out? He said, we know a guy. He gets his van, and we load it up, and we're driving around the island. I kid you not, we handed out the last hygiene pack to the last kid in line. Exactly the number of hygiene packs we needed, exactly the number of kids that were there when he took us to some of the poorest areas on the island. We ended up somehow with all the chicken for both boats in our cooler. So we said, well, you know, God's been working so far. Let's have a fried chicken dinner. So we start making homemade fried chicken on a grill and, you know, boiling some. We fed like the whole marina. You know, we just started inviting people that we would have never thought to reach out to that were sitting there, their boats docked around us. We said, why don't you guys come over and let's have a chicken dinner. And we got to share with all these people that were there on vacation about why we were there and about how God had been faithful and how God was using us just being there, you know, to be his presence and to have a ministry there. Captain Mike, for our trip, was not a believer. He was not a believer. But by the end of the trip, he came to some of us and said, you guys have really, really changed the way I would have thought about who Christians are. Because you guys didn't complain. You know, after that first night of kind of half mutiny, you guys just really took this thing and made the best and just did an awesome work here on this island, but it was not at all what you were planning to do. It was as though Jesus looked at where we were in the midst of our storm, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing what's going on, and he said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. I am God, you are not. Just be available. Just be available. And we were. And God was faithful. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that in the midst of our storms, you speak a word of peace, a word of hope, a word of comfort. We know that there are those here this morning who it was all they could do to get up and get here because the storms in their life are raging. Because there are uncertainties that are threatening to overwhelm them. There are those here who are struggling with financial burdens this morning and the storm that brings. We know there are those here that are struggling with the storms of relational conflict in their lives right now. For those that are struggling with the storms of addiction and habitual sin, Lord, that's got a hold of their lives. And they need you to speak a word, Lord. They need you, Jesus, to speak peace into those situations. Father, I pray this morning that whatever our storm may be, that we would have the courage to come shake you awake in the middle of it and to say, Jesus, we need you now. We need you here. We know that you will be faithful, Lord, to speak peace into our storm. Lord, give us the courage to respond to you now as your Spirit guides us, as your Spirit draws us to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do realize that there are folks here that peace is the last thing on your mind probably this morning, that you came and there's just circumstances that are surrounding you, that are threatening to overwhelm you, and you feel like the waves in your life are kind of capsizing over the top of your boat, and that your boat feels like it's going to sink. And it seems like the chaos maybe is going to take over. Look to Jesus this morning. Look to him. Look to the one who it was so secure in God's presence, so secure in God's power that he was asleep in the back of the boat. He was so sure that God was in control, he found complete stillness, complete peace, complete rest in the midst of the storm. He wants to speak that peace into your storm this morning. He wants to speak it into your life. Whatever that storm is, we want to invite you this morning to respond. We've got the front is wide open here. Use this as an altar to come and to pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'll be back in the back. Or find Jerry or David or Stan or Kim, somebody, one of our servant leaders. Grab them and say, could you pray with me? But unload that anxiety. Let Jesus speak into those deep places in your life this morning. Words of peace and of comfort. As Daniel sings, would you respond? Let your